I was packing up, getting ready to go out of town on travel, when the text from my friend came in. He really wanted to talk to me. Could we meet up? I texted him back, I'm due to leave town in a couple of hours, but we can meet up when I return. His response came back almost immediately. I need to talk with you. Can we meet? I'll tell you what happened coming up next.
Helping you grow deeper on your spiritual journey. Welcome to The Inner Life with Patrick Conley.
Welcome to The Inner Life. Thanks for joining us for this hour of on-air and online spiritual direction with our top-notch spiritual directors. I'm your host, Patrick Conley. As his desperation was so evident, I told my friend I could meet him briefly at a coffee shop near the airport on my way out of town. Needless to say, I was curious as to what was so pressing. We met up at the coffee shop, sat down, and I waited for his explanation. Tears started welling up in his eyes, and he explained how, some months prior, he had flat-out lied to me. And now he was seeking my forgiveness. Now, to be honest, the lie he had told was part of setting in motion a series of events that had had some rather severe consequences in my life at that time. But in that present moment, God had already revealed to me how he had been at his redemptive work and how things had actually become much better in my life than the circumstances that led to the lie. In a way, I suppose it was a little like the Old Testament figure of Joseph, whose brothers had thrown him in a cistern, then sold him into slavery in Egypt, where he went through slavery, imprisonment, scorn, and neglect, until, through God's redemptive intervention, he rose to be the Pharaoh's right-hand man. And when he was at last reunited with his now repentant brothers, he said to them, "Do not be distressed, and do not be angry with yourselves for having sold me here. It was really for the sake of saving lives that God sent me here ahead of you." Now, all of this did not go through my head at the time. I just looked at my tearful, repentant friend who looked at me with sorrow and hope. I reached out to him and offered my forgiveness. Forgiving others does not often come easy, but sometimes it ranks among the hardest things we ever do, especially if the one who wronged us shows no signs of contrition or repentance like my friend did. Are we still called to forgive, even then? Practicing forgiveness is our topic for today's show, and joining us as our spiritual director is another Joseph. Let's say hello to Father Joseph Johnson. Father Joseph is the pastor of Holy Family Catholic Church in St. Louis Park, Minnesota, part of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis. Father, welcome back to the program. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Patrick. So good to be with you and to be able to speak with you and discuss with all those who call in this great, great topic of forgiveness.
Yeah. Well, it is, it's deep, it's meaningful, it's right there in the Gospels. Even our Gospel for today, Father, I'm reflecting on that. It's when Peter approaches Jesus, asks him, "My brother sins against me, how much often must I forgive him?" As many as seven times. And Jesus, of course, gives the well-known answer, "I say to you, not seven times, but 77 times." And then he goes on to tell the parable of the unforgiving servant, right? So what does this gospel, even in and of itself, what does it teach us about forgiveness and the expectation of forgiveness?
Well, you know, the numbers might throw us off at first, you know, seven times or Jesus saying 70 times, whatever.
Right.
The point is Jesus is multiplying Peter's original number. Peter thought he was being generous, saying seven times, mm-hmm. you know, and Jesus says, no, multiply that out. And of course, the number seven is one of those symbolic numbers, right? There's 7 days of the week. There's seven sacraments, you know, there's seven, you know, theological and cardinal virtues. So what we're talking about when Jesus is saying in the 70 is he's multiplying this out to infinity, meaning there's no limit. There's no line you can draw and say, here and no further. I'm going to forgive you this much and not again. You know, this is your last chance, right? Jesus says no to that. He says, forgive and forgive and keep on forgiving. And part of what you and I have to do is get away from a transactional mentality where we would say, I can enumerate how many times I'm going to forgive another person. you know, and only, again, as you were saying, if they, are they contrite, you know, and did they make a mistake, you know, or do they really feel miserable about it? Right. Maybe I'll forgive them, you know.
Yeah.
But what we're getting at is a deeper mystery, and that is Christ wants us to have his heart. That's the key. You want to call yourself a Christian. It means I commit myself to living like Christ lives, which means loving as Christ loves. Hmm. Now, let me tell you how Christ loves. I hear confessions for a living, and a lot of them. And yeah. I've been blessed throughout my 26 years of priesthood that I've been in parishes that have always had a major part of their ministry being confessions. And sometimes people come and there's this weight on their shoulders. Oh, Father, you know, it's the same old sin and I did it again. And, you know, and this has been part of my life for so long. I'm never going to break free. And how can God still love me and all that? And I just tell them, I said, look up at the ceiling of the confessional above you. Like, what? I said, look up. Right? I said, do you see any hole? Do you see any scorch marks? I said, there's never been a lightning bolt that has come through that ceiling. Huh. As often as people have been in here with the same set of sins, no matter how many times, God has never sent a lightning bolt there. He is always ready to forgive. And in fact, more eager to forgive us than we are to be forgiven. And so that's how God loves us. And poor, weak sinners stumbling along, boy, aren't we grateful that God loves us that way. I've needed this 70 times myself, you know. So, but what Jesus is saying to Peter is, you're going to be my disciple. You have to learn to love as I love. Spiritual writers will tell us that the number one reason, why people don't progress in holiness is a lack of forgiveness, a lack of an ability to forgive others, a holding on to resentments and grudges. That's the number one reason, according to many spiritual authors, why we don't progress in holiness.
Yeah.
So you and I need to, as we give thanks for God's merciful love to us, shift gears and say, now I gotta share that mercy with others. And we find that so many times through the scriptures. Yes, today's gospel at daily mass, but of course the prodigal son, all of this. What was the problem with the elder son? He wasn't willing to love as his father loved, with forgiveness. All right? The Pharisees, oh boy, did Jesus come down hard on the Pharisees, because they were hard on everybody else. And Jesus is saying, the measure with which you measure will be measured out to you. You know, and that's the thing. You want to be unforgiving, well, then prepare yourself to receive unforgiveness. And of course, Jesus puts it right there in this. You know, Father Rocky just before in the break was talking about the creed is the summary of what we believe. The Our Father is also a summary of how we live and how we pray. Jesus said, when you pray, pray in this way. This is a command, right? And right there, it's forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. If I'm not willing to forgive others who have hurt me, Jesus is saying, don't go asking God for forgiveness. He puts that as in there. This is connected. And of course, throughout the scriptures, in St. John's letters, he talks about this, you know, right? Don't say that you love the God whom you don't see if you don't love your neighbor whom you do see. Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus asked, what's the greatest commandment? Love of God. And he said, neighbor, He connects them. So here it is, the mystery of mercy. In order to receive it, we have to commit ourselves to sharing it. Love one another as I have loved you. How has he loved us? Mercifully.
Yeah, without a doubt. It's a great introduction as we start contemplating the importance of forgiveness in our own spiritual lives. And but yet there's, I mean, all of this is not to say that that it comes easy. Certainly, Father.
No.
Right.
Not at all.
I mean, if it were easy, I guess everyone would do it. But
we wouldn't
so
have to
many
talk
things.
About it on a radio show if it was easy, right? Everybody would say, "Oh yeah, yeah." Turn the channel. We know all about that.
Right? Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, so one of the thoughts that comes up, and it might be an obstacle for some in the offering of forgiveness. Actually, if I may, and just to lighten the mood a little bit, I'm thinking about an old Calvin and Hobbes comic strip where Calvin is called Susie, his on again, off again kind of friend, a bunch of names. And he goes up to her and he says, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. And she says, "Wow, well, you did hurt my feelings, but I accept your apology. Thank you." And then he goes running off and he says, "Oh boy, thank goodness I got that over with." And Susie responds,
right.
"On second thought, let's see you grovel a little bit." And so,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, but some might say, but aren't I just letting him get away with it then? Aren't I just excusing what they did? Is it maybe even a sin against justice if I offer forgiveness, even if they're not, you know, completely contrite, if there's not perfect contrition coming back and asking for my forgiveness?
Well, so I think there are different situations that we have to talk about. What does a merciful approach look like?
Okay.
Right? If you're in an abusive marriage, right, and your spouse is beating up on you, whether physically or verbally, emotionally, whatever, all right, you need to learn to forgive them. But that doesn't mean you need to stay in the abusive situation and be a doormat to be walked all over, right? Mother Church says you have a right to self-defense, you know, and if there are children involved, you have a duty to protect them from an abusive environment, right?
Sure.
So that doesn't mean you're unforgiving if you say, I need to separate, I need to get out of this toxic environment. That's not necessarily a lack of forgiveness. It could be accompanied with a lack of forgiveness, but too often we think that forgiving means we just reset to how things always were. No, you can forgive people, but say, you know, I have nothing hard in my heart against you, but I don't trust you, right? So trust is a different question than forgiveness. And sometimes, like, you picked Calvin and Hobbes. Okay, what about Peanuts? You know,
okay.
Charlie Brown goes to kick that football.
Yeah.
How many times does Lucy remove it before he kicks?
Mm-hmm.
Every time I saw, I don't know, I, you know, maybe one of our listeners found the comic frame where Charlie Brown actually does get to kick it, but every time I ever looked at that comic, Lucy always pulled it at the last minute.
Good,
you know,
grief.
And exactly. you know, so, you know, at what point do we say, I'm not going to trust you? I forgive you for having done it, but I don't trust you. And that's where actually when I, you know, was a kid, there was the old expression, you know, fool me once, shame on you.
Right.
Fool me twice, shame on me.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we're dealing with low numbers there, one and two, but maybe we need to up the second number. But, you know, there is a point at which you say this person is not trustworthy. So I'm not going to let bitterness or resentment stay in my heart, but I can't trust this person and I shouldn't pretend like I trust that person. I need to put a boundary here. Mm-hmm. Boundaries are good. Every healthy relationship has boundaries. And so when we find someone who's not trustworthy, we need to put a proper boundary there. We need to forgive them for having hurt us the first time, the second time, the third time, whatever. But at a certain point, I need to also take responsibility and say, you know, is this healthy for me to remain in this, or do I need to put a boundary here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so that's the question. But it's not a question of forgiveness, it's a question of trust. Again, we can spend many programs talk about trust, but if we want to refocus on forgiveness here, just know that there are distinct ways that forgiveness is exercised, and to move to part company, whether it's with a friend or sadly in a brokenness of a family, that's not necessarily a lack of forgiveness. Right? We want to forgive. We need to forgive always, but we need to also take proper self-defense measures. We need to also factor in this question of trust when setting boundaries.
All right. Okay. Lots to continue exploring with our spiritual director today, Father Joseph Johnson. We're talking about the practice of forgiveness. How do you forgive others? Would you consider yourself a forgiving person, or are there sometimes, maybe there are certain circumstances that you've encountered that make it really difficult to forgive? Maybe you have a story of forgiveness, how someone else's forgiveness of you, or how your forgiveness of somebody else has really affected your spiritual life, drawn you closer to our Lord. Give us a call. Join the conversation. Our number here on The Inner Life is 888-914-9149. That line is sponsored by the Catholic Order of Foresters. And the number again is 888-914-9149. Our email address, if you'd prefer to send us an email, is innerlife@relevantradio.com. We're going to take our first break, but again, much more of the conversation on forgiveness coming up right after this. Our sponsor, the University of Dallas, the Catholic University for Independent Thinkers, invites high school juniors, seniors, and recent graduates to study the great books this summer at UD's two-week-long Arete program, while earning 3 hours of college credit. Info at relevantradio.com/UDallas. Welcome back to The Inner Life here on Relevant Radio on relevantradio.com and the Relevant Radio app. My name is Patrick Conley. We're talking with our spiritual director, Father Joseph Johnson, today about practice of forgiveness, and specifically forgiving others who have wronged us in some way. If you have a situation in your life, maybe you're facing right now, where someone has done you some wrong and you're finding it really difficult to forgive, give us a call. Join the conversation, 888-914-9149. Or maybe you have an example of someone who has forgiven you and what that meant to you in your life following Jesus, 888-914-9149. Or send us an email at innerlife@relevantradio.com. Let's go to the phones. We've got Julie calling in from Wisconsin. Julie, welcome to The Inner Life.
Thank you very much. And hello, Father. We know how important it is to forgive others. That's clearly spelled out. What, if anything, does the church tell us about forgiving ourselves?
Very, very good question. Thank you, Julie. So I think what we have to do is realize that one of the devil's favorite tricks is discouragement. You know, Jesus is not surprised by our sins. Can we say that? You know, pretty clear. You know, on the cross, when Jesus offered his sacrifice, he saw every sin you and I would ever commit, and he died for all of them. So the question of sin is taken care of. Jesus took what was unforgivable and made it forgivable, right? So he's not shocked when you mess up one more time, right? Now, the devil tries to tell you, oh, look what you did. You think you're some pious Christian. Look at that. Oh, you did that again. You're never going to get past that. You just might as well give up. You know, that's the devil. But there's another source of discouragement. Wounded pride. All right? Oh, I can't believe I did that. Oh, I'm so stupid. Oh, I can't believe I did it again. I should know better. I shouldn't have to go to confession so soon. Oh, that's not actually repentance. I am not thinking at all about how I've offended God. I've offended me. I should be better than this. You know, and so whether it's a perfectionism or it's a pride, whatever, there's something within us that we've offended, and that's what we're all worked up over. And you know what? Good. Let's wound it even more. We want to kill pride, don't we? Right? So humility comes only when we recognize, yeah, I'm not a perfect Christian. You know, I don't have my act together. I'm a poor, weak sinner stumbling along. but God still loves me, so let's begin again. And there's the key. God still loves me. That I want to earn God's love. I want to be that perfect Christian. I want to have my act together. No, it's a gift. It's completely a gift. So let it be a gift. Receive it with gratitude rather than trying to earn it or deserve it. Nope. You want to change the whole dynamic of your relationship with God when you get stuck on that. So lack of forgiveness towards yourself is either a psychological issue where I have low self-esteem and the like, or a spiritual issue or a combination, but the spiritual side being this, again, wanting to earn things, and this wounded pride, you know, wanting to deserve God's love, or all worked up about it's me that I've offended. So let's call it what it is, and then going to, why does God still love me? Right? How can I move past this? You know, I've messed up, but God still loves me. How do I know that? Because God already knew about this mess up. And when God decided to love you, he saw you, all of you, all of your actions. And he freely chose to love you. And he doesn't change his mind. God chose. Why does he love you? Because he chose to love you, not because you deserve love. God loves you, because I'm behaving, and then when I misbehave, he won't love me. Nope. God's love for you doesn't depend on whether you're behaving or misbehaving. It depends on his free choice. He chose to love you, and he doesn't change his mind. And so then we have to come to the fact that we have God's love. And that, in fact, you and I, when we think poorly of ourselves, we start to insult God, the Creator. We say, you did a bad job here. You messed up. Was God having a bad day when he created you? Did some angel jostle his elbow when he was putting the finishing touches on? Nope. 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 Don't insult God. He created you, and he thinks he did a pretty good job. Now, we're works in progress. He's not done with us. So, yes, there are definitely flaws. There are definitely things that need to be attended to. But don't make the mistake of Martin Luther saying we're utterly depraved by sin. Nope, we're wounded, really wounded. That original sin did a job on us, and then we've added to those wounds through the sins we have committed. But fundamentally, we are good because we're made in his image and likeness. We're good. He loved us into life, and his love remains for us because of his choice, not at all dependent on my behavior. It's not a conditional love. It's an unconditional love. That's God's love for us. And that's how to free yourself from self-loathing, is to get back in touch with God who created you as good, God who's willing to forgive you, who loves you unconditionally. That's where you get. And if you're hung up on it that you've disappointed yourself, okay, pray through that and ask for humility instead of wounded pride. And if you're still stuck, ask the Holy Spirit, is this something psychological, emotional, that I need to go to counseling and get past some low self-esteem? So thank you, Julie, for raising a very important aspect of this whole question of forgiveness.
Yeah, it is a very important aspect, and I appreciate your response, Father. Julie, thank you again for the call and for prompting us all in terms of moving ahead in our relationship with God as we're talking today about forgiveness, forgiveness of self, forgiveness of others, and forgiving as Father, you started out with by having the heart of Christ.
Right? That's the goal, right?
Yeah.
And
exactly.
Patrick, one last thing maybe
sure,
to tie
please.
Off with Julie. You know, when Jesus told us love our neighbor as ourselves, well, if I'm hard on myself, what do you think that means?
Huh.
I'm going to be hard on the people around me. Yep.
Yeah.
So actually, Julie's nailed it right there that I can't really get to a really merciful love for my neighbor unless I'm really working on being merciful towards myself.
Wow.
I was just talking to a staff meeting this morning. We were talking about, we have a series on St. Francis de Sales, Introduction to the Devout Life. Mm-hmm. And one of our staff members was pointing out how he stresses, be gentle with yourself. Be gentle with yourself. And that's where spiritual pride, you know, we have to be attentive to. God, the devil tries to take even good things and warp them and twist them and use them against us. You know, that I want to be the best Christian. You know, that can become a form of spiritual pride if we're not careful. So to fall flat on our faces, you know, to learn humility is an important part of all of our growth in the spiritual life.
Yeah. It's a good point, Father, and you've got me thinking now that maybe Julie's call has prompted us that we need to do a show on spiritual pride. I think that might be worthwhile and talking about that some as well. But in any case, we're talking about forgiveness today. Julia, thanks again for the call. Let's go now to Roberto, who's calling in from California. Roberto, welcome to The Inner Life. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you, Patrick. Thank you, Father Joseph. I just wanted to tell you guys and whoever is listening, my sweet story. I mean, I was really hurt by members of my family, and I had to deal with anger because I was hurt very badly, not just emotionally, but economically. And I had a hard time forgiving, you know, and I pray because I said, God, teach us through Jesus Christ to be forgiving, even when he was on the cross. And I finally, to make my story short, was able to let it go. I mean, forgive my brother, and I felt a big relief, inner peace in my mind and heart, and happiness. It was important for me to heal that wound, you know, I did it not just for my brother, but also for myself. And I think it is easy to love, but it's even more difficult to forgive. And we have to pray for forgiveness because that's what is lacked around the world. If we are able to forgive and put love in Jesus as the center of our lives, then there will be peace on earth, right?
Yes, amen. Roberto, praise God that you've received this grace, but no, it's not an easy thing. You know, it does intensify our prayer life when we're struggling with this, when we've been hurt. You know, God brings good out of everything, right? He never lets evil have the last word, never. And so, you know, coming into prayer, not just going through the motions, but saying, Lord, my heart aches because of this wound. And of course, Jesus, right? It wasn't just the Pharisees. It just wasn't the Romans. It was Judas, one of those closest to him that betrayed him. Jesus wants us to know he has experienced that pain too. And so to come to the Lord and say, Lord, you experienced those closest to you turning on you, one of them selling you out, one of them denying even knowing you, and the 10 other ones all running away, abandoning you in your hour of need. You know what this feels like. Lord, give me your love. Give me a greater awareness of your love, that even when others' love fails me, I have your love. And then, Jesus, let me know that being a Christian isn't just showing up on Sunday morning, putting in the time and throwing an envelope in the collection basket, but help me work through this pain. Anger, Roberto, you should never feel guilty about that. Anger is a healthy emotion that we experience at certain times. So we don't want unrestrained anger. We don't want anger to take over and rule our actions. But there are some people that think that we should never get angry, that we shouldn't experience that emotion, that the emotion itself is bad. No, our emotions are not bad. You know, but we can't live in that emotion and we can't let it control us, but not to bottle it up and pretend that it doesn't exist or to feel guilty that we felt angry. No, if there was nothing to forgive, we couldn't forgive. So yes, I have to acknowledge there's pain here. There's a wound. and then work through that anger towards forgiveness. And to know it's yeah, maybe my prayer life is going to be dominated by this. Lord, I still feel angry. Please help me. Because it will be the grace of God that gets you there. You know, and so it has to be something that we do keep bringing to the Lord. Oh, I'm still unforgiving. Well, then bring that to prayer. You know what your prayer life should be focusing on then, to keep working through it with the Lord. So praise God that you were able to do that, and the Lord will bless you for that continually.
Amen to that. Roberto, thank you so much for the phone call, and God bless you that you were able to get to that place of forgiveness, even in the midst of betrayal. It is a difficult thing to do, talking about forgiveness on the program today. Let's go now to Barbara calling in from Miami, Florida. Good afternoon, Barbara. Welcome to The Inner Life.
Good afternoon, Father. I also wanted to say about family members who have hurt me and don't acknowledge. It's very difficult to have a healthy relationship, and you know, even though I'm praying for them and navigating forgiveness, it seems hard. So, you know, staying away, a defense mechanism for me particularly, is that a healthy way to deal with it, even though I do pray for them and I'm trying to work through the forgiveness?
Well, you know, thank you, Barbara. It's a good question, and I'm going to turn that over to my assistant, the Holy Spirit. You know, every situation requires discernment. But it is that question of boundaries. So, again, if it's toxic and it's going to just pile on more hurt, you need to discern, is there, you know, a boundary where I do need to stay away? Or if it's not, and they think everything's fine now and just keep going on, but you still have this wound from the past that they've not acknowledged or that's still bugging you, that you know, to tread gently, you know, to stretch ourselves out of our comfort zone. Because sometimes, again, we get wounded and we retreat and draw up the drawbridge and hide behind the walls, you know, because it's not fun to get hurt. And as you said, it's not easy. I mean, that's our refrain, Patrick, today, I think, isn't it? It's not easy.
Yeah, it's not easy. Yeah.
Right? But here's another good thing that the Lord brings out of this. He said, even the pagans love their friends. What's different about the Christian? We love even our enemies. That's a mark of a Christian, is that we learn to love even our enemies. We forgive those who've hurt us. And you don't like to think about a member of your family. You want to think about your spouse as someone that's your enemy, but anyone who hurts us. And every single one of our families, I've never met anybody that didn't have any hurt in their family. You know, and at any time, even the happiest of families, you're going to do something inconsiderate, or you're going to have a bad day, and you're going to hurt somebody close to you. And of course, the ones closest to us can hurt us more than anybody else. You know, so you have to work through this. Okay, Lord, I've got to learn what it looks like to love my enemy, because that's what separates us from the pagans. I don't want to live like a pagan, loving only my friends. I have to learn to love even my enemies. That's what Christian discipleship looks like, because that's how Christ loves. And St. Paul puts it really uncomfortably, that Christ died for us while we were still his enemies.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, no, Paul, can we rephrase that? Now, I don't like to think of myself as an enemy of Christ. No. Yep. Every time we sin, that's what we say. We are enemies of Christ. But that's okay. Christ loves us and died for us while we were still at enmity with him because of our sins. So that's how Jesus loves us. That's what it looks like for us to love as Jesus loves.
Yeah, I'm back to the it's not easy, Father.
Right?
But
consult the Holy Spirit to discern what the boundaries need to look like in your particular situation. Do you need to forgive and forget and just carry on close to that person still? Or do you need to throw up some boundaries and say, I got to get out of some toxic situation?
Yeah, that's good point there. Barbara, thank you so much for the call. You know, and Father, you're talking about loving of enemies. It's just what was going through my mind is, of course, Jesus forgiving his executioners from the cross and all those who called for his execution. And then that being perpetuated, you know, that we do see that. We see it in St. Stephen. He also says, do not hold this sin against them. We see it all the way up to like St. Paul Miki, we celebrated last month, and his companions who freely forgave the emperor and all those who were putting him to death through crucifixion as well. And
sure, and there's a saint coming up to what's his name? Patrick. Oh yeah, St. Patrick. Have you ever heard of him, Patrick?
I think he's crossed my radar. Yep.
Yeah. Well, let's remember his story. How did he get to Ireland? First of all, sorry to all the Irish, he wasn't born there. All right.
That's true. Yeah.
But he got there because he was captured and enslaved by pirates.
Yeah.
And when he finally did escape after a couple of years of hard labor and abuse, he went back to Ireland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's loving your enemy.
Yeah.
I'm now going to devote the rest of my life to bringing the merciful love of Christ to the people who enslaved and abused me.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Amazing.
There's a great lesson for loving your enemy.
Yeah. So a plethora of examples to choose from. Of course, the primary example being our Lord himself, but all of his followers that have come and practiced this great forgiveness in their lives. That's what we're talking about today on The Inner Life, is forgiveness. How do you practice forgiveness of others? Have you had an amazing example of forgiveness, either being forgiven or offering forgiveness to someone else, that has drawn you so much closer to the Lord as you seek to live in the heart of Christ? Give us a call. Join the conversation, 888-914-9149, or send us an email, innerlife@relevantradio.com. We're going to take our next break. We'll be back with more of the conversation with Father Joseph Johnson right after this. Our sponsor, the University of Dallas, the Catholic University for Independent Thinkers, invites high school juniors, seniors, and recent graduates to study the great books this summer at UD's two-week-long Arete program while earning 3 hours of college credit. Info at relevantradio.com/UDallas. Welcome back to The Inner Life here on Relevant Radio. My name is Patrick Conley. My thanks to Nick Sentovich, our producer, and Miranda Sinaceros taking your phone calls today, and our spiritual director, Father Joseph Johnson. Just a reminder quickly, too, before we get back into the conversation, that if you are in the midst of still trying to develop your Lenten disciplines, go over to relevantradio.com/Lent and sign up to receive Father Rocky's Lenten Lessons on the Mass. That will pop up in your inbox every day. Just a short video explaining the different parts of the Mass. He's moving all the way through the Mass, helping you to get more out of the Mass each and every day. Again, that's relevantradio.com/Lent. Well, Father, one of the things that we talked about, especially when we were talking about forgiveness of ourselves, we talked about how we view ourselves coming into play. Maybe I'm thinking how we view others might also play some role here in learning to forgive them. And, you know, maybe we just set them up a little too high and are expecting them to be perfect. Does that ever, something like that happen?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and that's the old splinter and the plank thing. You know, Jesus talks about, you know, you're not forgiving your brother because you see the splinter in his eye and you're not paying attention to the plank in your own.
Right.
You know, so there's our expectation. We can be very demanding of others and sometimes very lenient on ourselves, right?
True. Yeah.
Or we already talked about the thing where we're hard on ourselves, so we're hard on others because we're used to being hard, right? Mm. Just tough, you know. But sometimes we set others up as an idol. I can't live without you.
Mm-hmm.
I need you, right? Well, there's where we have to go back and purify our hearts. It's God's love that we need. And his is the only perfect love. If you're not willing to let other people love you imperfectly, then you got two problems. One, you're not recognizing that you love them imperfectly. And two, you're trying to make them an idol.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you count on. That's what you need their love. In fact, we have a perfect love in our lives. And that's how we can give permission to others to love us imperfectly, is because we already have a perfect love, God's love for us. And sometimes, you know, this is, of course, the romantic ideal. Sometimes it's your spouse. I'm devastated because my spouse was not loving. Well, your spouse is imperfect, but you still have a perfect love in your life, God's love. And so I know that's what we have to get back to. And sometimes that's part of the good that God, again, brings out of the brokenness in our human relationships, is reminding us that his love is the only one we can always count on. And that's where our true happiness is in his love. I remember once I was throwing a pity party for myself at how I was, you know, not being treated well by some people. And you know, I heard not a voice, but an inspiration inside of me with the Lord saying, "Am I not enough for you?"
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, wow. You know, that's putting it bluntly. Thanks, Lord.
Yeah.
You know, but we got to think about that. You know, my best friend betrayed me. Da, da, da. Okay. But am I not enough for you? Is God not enough for you? Is his love not enough for you? Because frankly, folks, all other loves get stripped away. Everything else gets stripped away. You have the most loving of marriage, but one spouse is going to die first. You know, what is it that we depend on these human loves? Now, we should have human loves. We should engage, and they're a blessing to us, but not an idol. We really have to make sure that we purify our hearts that way. So that's another good thing that the Lord can bring out of this brokenness of the way we mistreat each other, by the way we love each other so very imperfectly, is to remind us to keep focused on him as the only perfect love, to make sure we're worshiping him and not setting the goal of our life, getting the love from somebody else.
Yeah, excellent point, Father. Thank you for that. Let's go to an email that came in, Father. Anonymous has written in and says, "Recently I was deeply hurt by some relatives of mine. I called them out for their actions, which I regret, and now I forgive them. The problem is that they won't forgive me or speak to me. Is there a way to move forward in repairing the relationship?"
Oh, yeah. You know, again, that's a Holy Spirit discernment question, but I would say that sometimes time is needed. So
yeah,
if we reach out and say, you know, that was a very painful situation for all of us. What you did to me hurt me tremendously, and I didn't react well because of that. And I inflicted pain on you, and I'm sorry for that. And I hope that all of us, loving imperfectly, we'll learn to forgive one another and begin to rebuild our relationship, you know? And often I'll tell people, write it in a letter, not an email, not a text, not face-to-face or a phone even, because sometimes people need to sit with it, you know, and be able to not be on the spot to react immediately.
Right.
You know, you send me a text or an email, or you're talking to me face-to-face or on the phone, I think I have to say something immediately in return. And that initial response may not be a good one.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
So let's give it to them in an old-fashioned letter, stamp and all, and let them sit with that and reread it and take their time before they respond. And if no response is forthcoming, if they ignore it or if they're still just as angry, whatever, then, okay, just what you want to do is periodically reach out. Let some time go by. Sometimes healing happens through time. So maybe it's through birthday cards or Easter or Christmas cards, you know, just to say, you know, I just want you to know I'm praying for you, and I'm hopeful that at some point we'll be able to have some healing in our relationship, you know, to bombard them with it, but just at certain intervals. And then also make it a prayer. Make it a prayer, part of your prayer life. Lord, I pray for them that as you've given me the grace to forgive them, they will get the grace to forgive me. And also, we're people of hope. You know, I think some of us are going to only work out some of these things in purgatory. we're going to have to glare at one another in the same room in purgatory. And only when we stop glaring and forgive each other will we actually get to move out of purgatory. You know? So the important thing is that we're on the we start the journey of forgiveness and not to get not to set deadlines. The other person has to forgive me by X. That you went to confession and said to the Lord, Lord, I inflicted hurt on them. You know, I'm assuming that happened, you know, or should happen, right? There's your forgiveness. Don't be on pins and needles until they forgive you, okay? Just get the Lord's forgiveness for whatever you did wrong, you know, and it may be only in purgatory that the next step of healing that relationship happens, but we can just reach out gently at various intervals, letting some time be there, not putting them on the spot to react immediately, and keeping prayer, that intention in our prayers, so...
Sounds great, Father. Anonymous, I hope that was helpful. I tell you what, Father, let's try to see if we can squeeze in one more phone call before the end of the program here. Patty has been waiting patiently in Phoenix, Arizona. Patty, good morning. Only a couple minutes left, but thank you for calling in and for your patience.
Good morning.
Morning. What have you got for us, Patty?
Okay. It's been a year. Me and my daughter are not talking. And it was all a result of her daughter, which is my granddaughter, that she became pregnant, and I got blamed for that. And I got blamed because I opened the doors to my granddaughter. But then in 10, she sold her house, moved away out of state. And we were going to leave in good, she's going to leave in good terms and everything, but her husband started some trouble and created chaos. And said some lies and didn't admit to a lot of things. And that me and my husband were kind enough to do for him. And it was all about money. And they lied about selling the house, first of all. And you
excuse
know,
me, Patty, sorry for jumping in. But just for the sake of time, is there a succinct question that you have for Father?
Yes. Tell me. Strike three, I was told, this is the third time my daughter has done this to me, to hurt me and insult me. How do I get past this, and how am I going to forgive her? I have knots in my rope, and I'm going to forgive her for myself, but you tell me, and I've been listening.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, Patty. Appreciate that. Go ahead, Father.
Sorry, Patty. We're coming to the last few minutes here. I'd say... You know, you may never have a healthy relationship with your daughter if she's not healthy and her husband's not healthy. But for you, again, to not let any bitterness and resentment fester in your heart and pray for her. But you might have to have boundaries to with her. Maybe a novena to Our Lady, undoer of knots. For a lot of people with tangled up relationships, sometimes that's a good thing to do. But just keep praying to the Lord, Patty, that he'll give you the grace to take that deep hurt of a child turning against the parent and help you to love. That's how God loves. We, his children, have turned against him every time we sin, and he still loves. So say, God the Father, you love your children this way. Help me love my child this way too.
Amen to that. Father, it's been a pleasure and a privilege speaking to you as always. Thanks for being our spiritual director today. May we have a blessing from you as we close.
May the merciful God, who gives us all the graces we need, bring healing and peace. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Important conversations about practicing forgiveness and what that can mean for our spiritual life, how we can gain the heart of Christ, which is where we started from. If you missed any part of the program and like to go back and listen or share it with others, check us out at relevantradio.com/innerlife, where you can find all of our past programs. Coming up next, of course, is the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, our celebrant today, Father Mark Malezava. And tomorrow on the program, Stations of the Cross with Father Sam Kachuba. Hope you can join us for that. Until then, grace and peace.